Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the SDI Limited Full Year 2017 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Ms. Samantha Cheetham, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for our full year 2017 result call. My name is Samantha Cheetham, the Chief Executive Officer, and with me today is John Slaviero, our Chief Financial Officer and Chief Operating Officer. This has been a challenging year for the group. However, we've made significant progress with the business. We have continued to make investments in new products and have kept pace with market trends. We have invested in new teams, especially in the US, and are making material progress as a leading manufacturer in the dental industry. Turning to slide three. For those that are less familiar with our company, we have been in business since 1972, and we are Australia's largest dental manufacturer. We have invested heavily in research and development over the years, and today we supply a range of dental products, including all categories of restoratives, and whitening and the small equipment used by dentists. We sell to over 100 countries and have teams based in four main locations, including here in Australia. Turning to slide four. The four primary locations for our business are in Melbourne, Australia, São Paulo, Brazil, Chicago in the US, and Cologne in Germany. Australia is our primary manufacturing facility and is also the centre of our research and development activities. From here, we ship to our export regions in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, South America and some European countries. In Brazil, where we've been operating since 1994, we have a packaging plant servicing our Brazilian market. Cologne is our European head office and from here we service Europe and the UK. And finally, our North American head office is in Chicago, servicing the US and Canada. Now let's turn to the results for the financial year just completed. I'm going to start off with the key highlights for the financial year just completed and then hand over to John to run through our financial performance before returning to talk about our strategy as a business and the outlook. Turning to slide six. As we mentioned previously, FY17 was a challenging year and our statutory result is in line with the guidance update given early last month. Sales and EBITDA are lower than we achieved in FY16, but we are pleased with the steady progress we have made over the longer term, with compound annual growth in sales and EBITDA in Australian dollars of 7% and 8% respectively since 2013. Encouragingly, the primary product areas of our investment focus have continued to show strong sales growth. Aesthetic sales, which include glass enamel and composite fillings, recorded 12% growth in local currency, while whitening sales in local currency showed sales growth of 7%. The Australian direct export sales were up very strongly, achieving 15% growth in local currency. These destinations are primarily the emerging economies and, interestingly, their consumption trends are similar to those we have observed in developed markets, with an increasing preference for non-amalgam products. As we talked about at the interim, we continued our focus on efficiency gains and I'm pleased to advise that we have managed to achieve a flat result on our operating expenses for the year. We continue to invest in research and development, seeing this as a key driver of creating value, spending $3 million over the last 12 months. I will talk later about some new products we have released and some early market reactions. Finally, reflective of our strong financial position, we continue to repay debt with a further repayment of $1.6 million over the year, and the board have declared a 2.3 cent dividend per share, up 15% on the previous year, showing their confidence in the operating performance and outlook for the group. Now turning to slide seven to look at the sales in more detail. The strongest sales growth was in the aesthetics and whitening product segments, with 12% growth and 7% growth in local currency respectively. Amalgam continues its weaker trend in line with the market's changing preference, and equipment, the smaller segment, was down 4% in local currency. Overall, as highlighted on this slide, the mix of sales has shifted dramatically over the last 5 years, with amalgam sales falling from 45% to 31% of sales today. The compound annual growth rate over the last 4 years of aesthetics and whitening have been 17.1% and 12.8% respectively, with these two segments in aggregate now representing 60% of total sales. This is a function of both the market's preference for alternative products and the shift in our focus to the non-amalgam products. Turning to slide 8, the table on this slide shows sales by business units, which is consistent with previous disclosures. Pleasingly, there was only one office to record a decline in sales in local currency, with Australia and Brazil recording solid growth over the year and Europe was flat. As was indicated in our first half 17 result, currency played a significant role in determining the Australian dollar result, with the US dollar and sterling having the biggest impact. We have made some changes to the team in the US and feel confident that these early challenges are now behind us. The market structure continues to evolve with the increased corporatisation of the customer base. While different, this creates an opportunity as our sales effort becomes more efficient. Now looking at the sales by destination, I'm now on slide 9. Here we are showing sales by destination, giving a better view on the regional markets we operate in. What is evident is the strong growth in the emerging markets, which, as indicated earlier, are showing the same trends towards non-amalgam products as we have seen in the developed countries. Asia Pacific was up 4.8%, the Middle East and Africa was up 13.3%, and South America was up 10.1%. The result in Europe, down 1.2%, is masked by the impact of currency, with solid single-digit growth in local currency. The North American market, down 9.6%, was impacted by the weakness in amalgam and currency, as mentioned earlier. Turning to earnings on the next slide, slide 10. Overall, we are pleased with the result in FY17, with the longer-term trend positive. Earnings were weaker than FY16, but when compared to the longer term, they show steady progress with margins broadly maintained. Other drivers over this period, making it difficult for comparison from 1 year to the next, are product and regional product sales mix, with direct exports from Asia to Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa and South America generally attracting lower margins. Finally, turning to slide 11, we enter FY18 with a strong balance sheet, good cash flows and a bright outlook. These features support the board's decision to increase returns to shareholders through higher dividends, with this year's full dividend up 15% on FY16. Let me now turn to John, who will take you through the financials.
Thanks, Sam, and good morning all. As Sam indicated, despite operating in challenging market conditions, we have made significant progress and have continued to strengthen our financial positioning. Turning to slide 13 on the P&L. Sales grew 2.3% in local currency and were flat in Australian dollars. In product terms, amalgam sales were the main drag on the result, falling by 9% in Australian dollar terms, continuing the industry trend to non-amalgam solutions in dentistry. As mentioned by Sam, we saw higher growth from emerging markets, with this being the biggest contributor over the year. Unfortunately, we experienced unfavourable currency movements impacting the sales line, and with our manufacturing base in Australia, it is challenging to recover this mismatch. Operating expenses were flat as we continue to focus on efficiencies in the operations, and our research and development expense was just over $1 million for the year. Our effective tax rate, which was just under 32%, you may recall that we merged our Irish and German offices in FY16, and Germany has a higher tax rate, but we will benefit from operating efficiencies. Turning to balance sheet on slide 14. Working capital has improved with further reduction in inventory over the year. This was partly offset by a small increase in receivables driven by the higher proportion of direct exports from Australia, which generally have extended payment terms. We have continued to invest in R&D, and this has been a shift. This has seen a shift in intangible assets to $22.9 million. Debt was reduced by a further $1.6 million, and the company is in a healthy net cash position, providing flexibility for the board to look at increasing the level of returns to shareholders, invest in further efficiencies or capacity expansions, and for earnings accretive acquisition opportunities. Turning to page 15, the cash flow. Cash flows remain strong with strong free cash flow conversion. There was a small purchase of land. We increased our R&D expenditure and there was further reduction in debt. I will now hand back to Sam.
Thanks, John. Now for the strategy and outlook. I'm now on page 17. SDI is transforming. We have five strategic priorities. Number one, achieve operational excellence. Two, continue to innovate and maintain product quality. Three, develop a dynamic brand and culture. Four, develop high-performing teams. And finally, five, as a manufacturer, have a focus on safety. SDI began life as an amalgam manufacturer. However, today this represents only 30% of our sales. The remaining 70% are the result of targeted research and development, which has seen the business transform to being a contemporary dental manufacturer at the leading edge of new product development in the industry globally. Now turning to slide 18. Over FY17, we released a number of new products which will contribute to earnings as they gain industry acceptance. Of note, our new Aura product has been well received and is indicative of the trust placed in this brand. In addition, Radii Expert, a new curing light, has received positive feedback from evaluators and will contribute to improved equipment sales through FY18 and beyond. Our research and development team are highly credentialed and are experts in the field with many staff with us for a decade or longer. We currently employ four PhDs and invested $3 million in R&D over FY17. This commitment sees us increasingly being recognised by the industry as an innovative producer and supplier to the dental industry. Finally, and excitingly, we are supporting research trials for RevaStar. If the studies are successful, this product may result in significant savings to public health and reduce patient trauma. Today, many children undergo general anaesthetics each year to perform routine dental treatments. This product has the potential to be used topically for the treatment of cavities and avoid such aggressive treatment. And finally, turning to the outlook. Our research and development team are still focusing on the discovery of a tooth-coloured alternative to amalgam, and recent product releases, including the new LED light, will contribute to earnings in FY18. On the market structure, there is an opportunity to better engage with group practices as the trend to corporatisation continues, adding to our sales efficiency. This year, emerging markets performed strongly as demand for quality dentistry increased, and we expect this to continue. We expect to see continued growth in sales of non-amalgam products and are well placed by product and region to participate in this growth. We also expect the decline in amalgam sales to continue. I am proud to be part of this innovative Australian producer, and together we have an exciting future ahead of us. Thank you for listening to our presentation. I will now return to the operator to moderate your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Brendan Agius with Curran & Co. Please go ahead.
Hi, I was just wondering how much your R&D spend is going to be going forward, seeing as though you released a number of products in FY17 and you're looking to release slightly less products going forward each year.
Hi, Brendan. I would say it's going to be pretty similar for the next few years. We plan to release 1 to 2 products per year, and we've got a full well, a plan's going out for several years, so it should be quite similar to last year.
And how much of that spend will be capitalised versus expense in the year?
Roughly around between 2 to 2.5 million will be capitalised.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. We'll now pause briefly to allow more questions to enter the queue. Your next question comes from Andrew Tan with Bell Potter. Please go ahead.
Morning. Just a question about margins. So I guess the transition to more non-amalgam products versus amalgam products, as well as the lower margins in emerging markets, how do we look at, I guess, margins going forward?
The margin, I think for FY16, the margin was around 62%, and we've dropped down to about 60, and that was a combination of currency and also of the regional sales mix with lower margins coming from those areas. Going forward, we wouldn't expect to vary much from that.
Yep.
And the product mix as well, as we're focusing on the non-amalgam products, it should at least, remain similar or higher, probably.
So non-amalgam is generally higher margins, but then if you're selling to region or emerging markets, that's lower margins.
Yeah.
What wins out? Like, does it just stay steady or does it improve or decline?
I'd say stay steady, yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
In terms of the Brazilian packing facility, what's the opportunity there in FY18?
We'll be packing, last year we were really only packing the amalgam products, and we're starting to pack the polar tooth whitening, and that's a product category where we've got a very strong local competitor, and we should be more competitive in the market or higher margins.
Also the whitening product attracts, I think, around a 16% import duty in Brazil. So if we can get the product over there broken down, cheaper import price, will save on a bit of the duty too. Yeah.
Okay, so Brazil could have uptick in FY18 if you're successful in getting them more in the market.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Mike Byrne with Camden Equity Proprietary Limited. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you very much for putting slide 11 up. I think that's a telling slide. That's the one where you show the declining debt contrasted with the rising dividend. I only wish you'd have taken it 2 years further back, because that I would have had the debt at about $12 million. Which shows a very impressive decline. And I think that's just a statement I'm making. It's congratulations, compliments to all involved, to have that kind of turnaround in the state of the balance sheet when you've, at the same time that you've increased your dividends and invested quite heavily in the business. I think it's the shareholders, that's what we want to see. Now, going from flattery to a bit of a tougher question, I'm looking at the second half, the June half result, and I'd just like to talk about some of the segmentals, the regions, because I was confused by some of them. Australia, and I think you've explained some of that, shot the lights out, and I'm looking at the pre-tax profit number which you've published in the segmentals. Mm-hmm. It's 6.3 million second half compared to 0.9 million in the first half, but Europe negative 0.5 million compared to 1.1 million in the first half. And Brazil, that also surprised me, a $400,000 loss compared to $300,000 profit at the pre-tax level in the first half, despite revenue gains. Could you just explain some of those movements?
Yeah, sure. Firstly, there is a bit of a currency noise in there, especially in the Brazilian real, where the real weakened in the second half. So that was part of the situation with Brazil. Regarding Australia's profitability and Europeans, well, the There is we look at the transfer pricing and the pricing that we charge for those subsidiaries in the overall of the year, which does distort the profitability between the two from the first to the second half. That's probably the biggest.
Okay. So to the extent that Australia's or Europe's loss has been Australia's gain in that somewhat of a
in a general terms.
Okay. All right. Then can I just ask one last question on? I know you've touched on it briefly. The tax rate in the June half was a whopping 33.7% according to my numbers.
I think 31.8.
Okay. Forgive me. I'll check that again.
Michael, you're talking about the second half.
I'm talking about the second half. First half was 28.5. Second half was 33.7.
Yeah. That dictated also where the profitability ends in that second half too. So we do a pretty severe tax calculation at the end of the year. And that does sometimes put a bit of movement in the tax rate. And it's because there's also distortion because also we have this, this seasonality in the business where, 40 to 35% is done in the first half and the balance is done in the second half. It does play around with it a bit.
Okay. And could I just ask from in terms of the capital structure of the company, We're now at a state of being debt free, which I think is a good thing. But where does the board see the balance sheet going forward? Is there any view to looking at it geared up to the 2.5 times EBITDA levels that it was in the 2012-2013 period?
Yeah, look, the board in such a way, they like the debt-free scenario. But as I mentioned in my commentary, we have a strong balance sheet, and if something comes across our table for acquisition, we'll certainly be taking a very close look at it.
All right, I have one or two more questions, but I'll just jump in the queue and give someone else a chance.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. There are no other questioners in the queue, Mike, if you would like to continue your questions.
All right. There's some purchase of a property. Could you give some, and that's a good thing, I like it when you don't pay landlord's rent. Could you just explain to me where that property is and what the strategic motive there is?
Mike, it's very strategic. It's in our street here in Bayswater, and it's a car park. And
For now,
that's for now. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. You're going to be renting out car parking spaces?
No, we're not. It's pretty tight around here. And for the future, it could easily be where a building goes, or our current car park would have a building on it. It was just. On the same side of the street as our current building.
Yep. Also, Michael, we have always problems with the council here. That every time we want to do an extension on a current building or modify something, we always have quite a big to-ing and throwing on car spots, and it holds up our projects quite a bit. But that is really, we call it a car park now, but it's really for future.
Sure. I look forward to trying it out at the AGM.
We'll put a reserve spot there for you, Michael.
One last question. The CapEx and acquisition and amortisations, and once again I'm looking at the second half number, it was a whopping $3.5 million together. Now, obviously, the half of that comes from, it relates to that the purchase of the property. That's a big investment. It's a big statement of the investment in the business. Could you just, especially on the in terms of the investment in the business per se, could you tell me where exactly is that going in terms of the product?
Do you mean in the plant and equipment, or more in the capitalised R&D side of things?
Well, I'm just looking at the expenditure on R&D spend, be it capitalized or whether it's expense, is a big number this half, in the last half, and I think it's a good thing, but I just want to understand exactly where it is where exactly that money is going to. Is it going into SaaS like Riva Star?
Look, it's actually going into products. For sure, absolutely into the products. Yes, some of it's into RevaStar, but it's also into the composite materials, the glass liner materials, the Lash. We're about upgrades to the Lash. Quite a few different products, and then of course into the efficiencies in the factory.
We continue to spend Michael on the automation of the factory and upgrading of the machines. Making them faster, more reliable. So there's always that continued expenditure in the factory area.
All right, thank you very much. We look forward to talking in October.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from Paul Middleton, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. Just a little bit more on capital expenditure, which is a bit of a theme in this session. You gave us some sort of idea on R&D, but just generally speaking, can we expect capital expenditure to be much the same next year? Just trying to get a feel for free cash flow.
Yeah. We look at, apart from the abnormal, purchase of a block of land or a building.
Mm.
Generally, we spend around about the $2 million on plant and equipment per year.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the trend. But if we, like last year, we spent $500,000 on a purchase of a property. That's an abnormal spend, which really happened very often.
It was sort of as a percentage of operating cash flow, it had been trending down. I'd noticed.
And yes.
So it sort of spiked up a bit, but it probably was that car park that you needed to buy.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, thanks for that.
No worries.
Thank you. We are showing no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Ms. Cheetham for closing remarks.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to us. John and I and the whole team here at SDI, both here in Australia and around the world, we are very excited for SDI's future. The underlying fundamentals of the company are very strong to take us through to the future. For those of you that are able to come to the AGM, we welcome you there and we will give you an update at that time. So thanks again for your time and until the next time.
Thank you.